Gaur Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Gangamayi Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandan. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vidla. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani Nivasesa Sanyavani Paskacharya Desatarani. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha Panchakalpa Chubhishchaki Pusindhivyevacha Ptichanam Pavani Ravashmanam. We have some of the lights off, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's May 8th, 2014 in Goloka Dham, Germany, and we're going to be looking at Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 32, Text 20 to 22. And who remembers the nine kinds of relationships that Krishna talked about before? Oops. Sorry. It jumped there. Who remembers the nine kinds of relationships that Krishna talked about? Yes?
Merchandise.
Okay, first there's the merchant, right? So those are the people who just give whatever they get. Right? They only love as much as they are loved. And the next we have the selfless givers. Maybe someone could adjust this again. We need it just over a little bit. And we have the selfless giving, right? Yeah, horizontal. Okay, great. Thank you. So those are the people who just give whether they get or not. And then the two categories, the devotees and the family, especially the parents. And then those who are indifferent, the Atmarama, the self-satisfied spiritualists, the Aptikama, the materialist who has everything and therefore they don't care. Then the ungrateful, the person who's just foolish, they're so absorbed in themselves that they don't even notice what anyone else is doing for them. And the three kinds of inimical, someone who hates those who've helped them. And the first is those who hate when there's a reason to hate, those who hate when there's no reason, and those who hate when there's no reason and also do harm. So then, of course, the gopis are wondering, all right, which kind of person, Krishna, are you? So now Krishna is going to explain what is his relationship and how he's all of these and none of these. All of them and none of them. He's in his own special category and how he relates with his devotees. And when we meditate on Krishna's love, right, the last two verses we were meditating on Krishna's explanation of material relationships, but when we meditate on the spiritual relationships, even a little bit, we get great happiness. So first we're going to go through these verses. Aham tu sakyo bhajato pijantum bhajan namisham anuvritti vrittaye yata dano labdha dane vinashte chachintayanyan nibhrito naveda. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Evam mararto gnita lokaveda swanam hivo maya nuvrittaye bala maya paroksham bhajata tirohitam maisuyitam marhat tat priyam priya. My dear girls, Understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I act as I did, only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. Naparaye ham niravajyasam yuyam swasadu krityam vibhudai ushapyava yamabhajam durjaya gehashin kala samvrishchatadva pratiyatu sadhuna. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. So now we're going to meditate on these verses, looking at from the commentaries of the Acharyas, especially Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, and referring to the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and to some extent the Gopal Champu. So now Krishna is going to go through these different types of persons. And his point is here, you can't say that I'm a merchant because I don't immediately give back exactly what someone gives me. So therefore, I can't be put in that first category. Right? The first category is whatever I get, that's how much that I give. But Krishna says, no, here you can give and I may not give back. At least I may not give back right away. So, I'm not a merchant. Oh, where are you, the person who just loves regardless? Well, no, I'm not that either. So this is the story. Who knows what this story is here? Anybody know what this Leela is here? Yes. Yes. Exactly. So there's Krishna sleeping and there's Duryodhana, who's at the head of the bed, and Arjuna at the foot of the bed. And Krishna gets up and he first sees Arjuna. So Arjuna gets his choice. Does he want Krishna or Krishna's army? So Krishna says, I don't show compassion to those who are indifferent. So I'm not the second category of person. So here Duryodhana was an enemy, but you could say Krishna showed him no compassion. Therefore, Krishna says, I'm not in the first category, I'm not in the second category. At the same time, Krishna says, I am in the second category. Right? The second category was like the gopis. They loved Krishna even when he left. And he said, I am the person who worships, even if the object of worship does not respond. Krishna takes care. We can think of all the living entities in the material world who don't worship Krishna, who don't respect Krishna, they have no regard for Krishna, and yet Krishna still takes care of us. He gives us the sunlight, he gives us the air, he gives us the water, he gives us the food to eat. How is he not then like the loving parent? In fact, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the father of everyone. So certainly Krishna can be in that category, like loving parents. He said, you might think, then in regard to the first category, in another sense, really, I am responding. Because Krishna is saying, yeyatamam prapadyante. So I really do respond according to how people worship me. It's just it may not always be obvious. So again, you could say that I am the perfect form of the first category. So Krishna says, no, I'm not in the first category, because when people worship me, I don't immediately respond. But yet, I am responding, and I'm responding perfectly as to how people worship me. So therefore, Krishna is the perfect form of the first category, that he exactly responds according to how he's worshipped. And you could say he's not the second category, because he's indifferent to the demons. But yet, he's the perfect form of the second category, because he's loving everyone, whether they respond to him or not. Well, what about the indifferent and ungrateful people? So is Krishna the Atmarami, the self-situated person in Brahman realization who just doesn't care for anything of the world? He said, no, because I'm attracted by you. Someone who's in Brahman realization, he's not attracted by anything in the world. If somebody's crying, if someone's dying, what does he care? Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that such self-realized persons, they don't care for the living or for the dead. So Krishna says, no, I'm not that kind of Atmarami. Of course, Krishna is the supreme Atmarami, satisfied in himself. But yet he's attracted by the conversation and the crying and the love of his devotees. And he says also, how can you say that I'm indifferent? We talked about the indifferent person, the aptakami, someone who has unlimited opulence, or the fool who doesn't care. And he said, how can I be compared to one of these people? Nitya nityanam tejanas chaitanam eko bhavanam yuvidadanati kama. Krishna is called the self-sufficient philosopher who's been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. So obviously he's responding to everyone's needs and everyone's desires. How can you say he's indifferent and doesn't care, like some sort of detached person? At the same time, of course, he is detached. He's there as the super soul. We were talking this morning, detached like the sky, neutral. Even if you want something evil, Krishna will facilitate it. So he can be called the aptakami, the person who has unlimited opulences, right? We talked about the person who's so wealthy, who has everything that they could want, everything that they could need, and therefore they don't care for anyone else. So I know when I first read Krishna book, I was thinking like that. I thought, everybody's already there in Krishna's pastimes. Krishna already has his mother and father and his girlfriends and his boyfriends and his animals. And why would he want me? Well, he already has everything that he needs. Why would he care if I love him or not? Where is there a place for me? I remember thinking like that. So Krishna is saying, even though I have unlimited opulences, still I renounce my station as the Atmarama, Aptakama, and I want to come and enjoy their love. So this, of course, is very interesting. And we read in the Bhagavatam, chapter 14, when the Lord expands as all the cows and the cowherd boys, and then shows himself as Vishnu, that around every Vishnu form, there's all the living entities, even the little insects, says even the straws, we're all worshiping the Lord. And Sanatana Goswami gives a wonderful purport there, I believe it's in text 53, where he says that the Lord has unlimited qualities and there are unlimited jivas, and each particular jiva is attracted to a particular quality of the Lord. That each of us has a relationship with the Lord that no one else has. You know, we talk about how there are five staibhavs, five main rasas that one can have with Krishna, yes? Right? Neutrality, service, friendship, parental, conjugal. But those are then divided into other subcategories, just like with servants. So there are servants in Vaikuntha, there are servants in Vrindavan, there's the male servants, the female servants. And then with the friends, there's friends who are a little older and they're mixed with parental, and there's friends that are the same age, and then there are friends that are a little younger when their friendship is mixed with service. And then even of the friends of the same age, some are intimate, more intimate, most intimate. There's so many categories, right? Among the gopis, there are the left wing and the right wing and this age and that age. And Rupa Goswami goes into so many subcategories and sub-subcategories, but then you can go sub-sub and sub-sub and sub-sub-sub-sub-sub till you come to each of us as individuals. So each of us, just like even our material identity, it's unique. each of us have a has a personality that's different from everyone else. I mean, what's really interesting to me is that even our physical body, which only lasts for a moment in universal time, how long? Burjan Prabhu said it's 8 billionths of a second for Lord Brahma, our human lifetime in Kali Yuga. And still our bodies are unique, you know. My fingerprints, nobody else has. My DNA, nobody else has. So what to speak of on the spiritual level? I mean, even with matter, Krishna does this. Each grain of sand is different. Each flake of snow is different. So, at the spiritual level, as a soul, each of us is unique. Our particular relationship, our personality. When Krishna expanded as each of the cowherd boys, you remember he imitated each of their personalities? Exactly what they liked, what clothes they liked to wear, what were their favorite colors. When Mahaprabhu is serving the devotees, he's serving each of them exactly what they like to eat, right? Giving them each their favorite preparation. So there's a certain flavor that Krishna's getting from each jiva, and only from that jiva. There's a particular kind of relationship, particular rasa, particular flavor that each of us has with Krishna, that only we have. So Krishna, although he's this Atmarama and Aptakama, he's attracted by the particular, unique, individual flavor of each jiva. He savors their love. He savors their service. So even if the jiva is doing some insignificant service, and what significant service can we do for Krishna? I mean, even if we're Lord Brahma, and we're creating a universe. When Vasudev Dutt said that he wanted everyone in the universe liberated, Mahaprabhu said, oh, that's not a big deal. He said, each universe is just like a mustard seed. A tiny little seed. So even if one is creator of the universe, maintainer of the universe, that is no significance. But it's significant to Krishna, even you bring him a little flower, patram pushpam palam toyam, a little cup of water. In the room where I'm staying, I guess the owner of the room, she has some deity paraphernalia there, and there's these little water cups, you know, like this big, 1 centimeter high. So, you know, you get these tiny little water cups, fill it with water and put it on your altar. Here, Krishna, here's, you know, 2 drops of water. And you could say Krishna has everything. He is everything. He's fully satisfied. And yet he becomes pleased. He's savoring. He's relishing this 2 drops of water in a little cup that the devotee is giving to him. Right? The Aptakami, he has everything. We can say Krishna has everything. What is there he doesn't have? When Krishna is joking with Rukmini, he says to her, why have you married me? I'm a penniless man. I don't own anything. He said, you're a princess. You should marry some rich man. He said, you can divorce me now and marry a rich man. And when Rukmini answered him, she said, yes, it can be said that you don't have anything. Because, my dear Lord, you are everything. If you are everything, how is it that you can possess anything? It was interesting when Vamandev goes to Bali Maharaj and he begs 3 steps of land, and Bali gives him the whole universe. Well, doesn't really give him exactly. Vamandev just takes it. But Bali says, yes, you can have 3 steps of land according to your measurements. And then Vamandev's measurements were rather big. Right? Like here, Radha Madan Mohan appear very small. So Vamandev came to Bali Maharaj, very small, not quite that small, but very small form. Just give me 3 steps of land, oh little boy. Right? And then Vamandev, he encompassed the whole universe. And he took 2 steps and he had covered everything that was Bali's property. And then he arrested Bali. Oh, you promised me 3 steps, but I've taken everything there is to take and only 2 steps, so you're a liar. You cheated me. In our modern society, we don't take this word of honor very seriously anymore. People promise anything and they do something else. But according to the Vedas, this word of honor is very serious. So you promise Krishna 3 steps, you have to give it. I have one friend who's often taking vows, she often takes vratas, And she says whenever she makes a vow, she always says to Krishna, if I die before the completion of the vow, please consider it complete. So like that. So I gave me, where is my third step? And finally Bali said, the possessor is different from that which is possessed. So even though you have taken all of my possessions, that does not include me. So therefore, I give myself separately. But with Krishna, the possessor and the possessed is the same. So Krishna and all of his energies and all of his opulences are the same. Therefore, he is the ultimate Aptakami. We were talking the material Aptakami, somebody like, you know, Bill Gates or Rockefeller. They have everything they need, and whether I love them or don't love them, what do they care? But Krishna, he has everything, he is everything, but still he cares. Still he cares about his devotees. I mean, Krishna even cares about the non-devotees and the demons, but what to speak of, he deeply cares about the devotees. Therefore, you cannot say that Krishna is indifferent in the way a jiva, who's Atmarama or Aptakama, is indifferent. Although sometimes it seems like that to the materialists. This is one of their accusations against God, that he doesn't care, that he's just indifferent. And we can see with these types we've been through so far how the materialists look like that, that Krishna. What about the Guru Druhi? Is Krishna Guru Druhi? Is he the akritignya? Is he a person who's just unaware of what others do for him? Does he hate people who help them? No. If you just give Krishna a tulsi leaf, he's eternally grateful. And it's sort of astonishing how grateful Krishna is. Just like in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna says that when Draupadi called out, Govinda, said she purchased me for all time. So where is such a grateful person as that? You know, Ajamila just said one time, Narayan. I remember in 1975 in Philadelphia, when Prabhupada was speaking on that verse, so the Bhagavatam hadn't been published yet, and the devotee was reading the verse and the purport that wasn't yet in the printed book. And so he read, so Ajamila called out three times, Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Prabhupada stopped and he said, what is this three times? Where have you gotten this three times? He said, I have not said three times. He said, one time, Narayana, that is sufficient. So Ajamila had neglected his elderly parents. He had left his chaste Brahmini wife. He had left his brahminical occupations. He had taken up stealing and cheating. And because he had said Narayana, Krishna was so grateful. So the example is always given that if Krishna is grateful to Putana, who just disguised herself as a mother and superficially offered her milk. Actually, she was offering poison, but just superficially offered her milk and externally appeared motherly. If Krishna was so grateful for that show, are any of us grateful when somebody makes a show? No. We call them con men. So con men is short for confidence men. They're people who get your confidence, they get your trust, and then after getting your trust, they cheat you. So that's Putana. She was a con woman, I guess. So she worked to get everyone's trust. She made herself look very beautiful. We were talking about this the other day, that beautiful people are trusted more. So she made herself very beautiful. She acted very motherly. But her purpose was to kill. And still Krishna was grateful for her show. He took her show as service. Would we do that? Would we do that? No. So how grateful is Krishna? If someone says his name, even to indicate something else, if someone says, oh, I'm going to watch the movie at the Cinerama, oh, Krishna says, he said my name. If someone eats prasadam just because we run a Hare Krishna restaurant and they just want something good to eat, oh, they ate my prasadam. just to follow the Rathiyatrakar, just to take a little Charanamrita. Just Prabhupada said they touch the book. If they just touch the Bhagavatam, they take birth in a good family. So this is just the opposite of the ungrateful persons that we were referring to. Right, do anybody remember again the categories? Let's go through all the categories. So first it's the, of the nine categories, first it's the? The merchant. First is the merchant who just gives, oh, you're thinking nine categories of bhakti. You're in another platform. Yeah, nine categories of relationships. You are transcendental. So first is the merchant. So how is Krishna not a merchant? He doesn't immediately reciprocate. Okay? But how can we say that Krishna is the perfect reciprocator?
He says I reciprocate with everyone as he...
as he surrenders. Because Krishna says, as you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So he's perfect like that. But he's not a merchant in the sense Krishna is not giving to us to get something from us. He's not thinking selfishly. He's thinking, let me give them as much as they want. So with many materialists who think of God like a merchant, they think, I will do my worship, I will offer my prayers, and then I will get something back. They're dealing with God like that. Prabhupada calls that thinking of God as your
order
supplier. Right, order supplier. That's like just like a shop. Now, today people go on the internet or you go on the shop, you order something. Okay, I want this, and you pay your bill, and then you get it. Many times people don't even want to pay their bill to God. They just, oh, glory, 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 now give me what I want. Like you go into a shop and just say, oh, glory, 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 give me what I want. So Krishna's not a merchant like that. He's not a merchant like that. But he perfectly gives everybody exactly what they need and what they want. So what's our next category? Yes?
The selfless giver.
The selfless giver. So how is Krishna not a selfless giver? Yes.
Was it the example with Arjuna?
With Arjuna and Duryodhana, yes. Krishna didn't give to Duryodhana what he wanted. So Krishna doesn't give himself to the demons. He remains far away from them. Like Krishna says, those who are demoniac, I cast into the lowest species of life. Of course, that's what they want. They want to be in the lowest species of life. That's their desire. We talked the other day about the man who tattooed himself like a lizard. Right? So he wants to be a lizard. So therefore Krishna is giving them their desire. But yes, Krishna is not the selfless giver in that it's not that Krishna just takes all the demoniac people and puts them in the middle of the rasa dance. But how is Krishna a selfless giver? Yes.
He's providing for all the necessities of all the people.
Yes, he's providing for everyone. Whether they're inimical, whether they're enemies or friends or neutral, Krishna's providing to everyone. The sun, it's not that only the devotees have sunshine on their head and the demons don't get the sunshine. The demons get the sunshine, the demons get to smell the flowers. You know, you can be an atheist and blaspheming Krishna and you can still grow roses in your yard. It's not that your yard will be cursed and the roses will not grow in your yard. There's even a subterranean heaven for the pious demons, for the pious atheists. So they even get their heavenly planets. So Krishna is not a selfless giver in the sense that he doesn't give pure devotion to those who are demoniac, but he is a selfless giver in the sense that he gives to everyone. All right, what's our next category?
Self-realized.
Yes, the self-realized, the Atmarama. The person who doesn't care about anything because they're just full of spiritual bliss. So how is Krishna like that? How is Krishna the Atmarama? He is self-satisfied. And in the material world, Krishna's here as the Paramatma. He's not involved in the activities of the material world. There's nothing to gain from the material world. In one sense, he doesn't really care if there's a war over here or whatever, you know, somebody lost their wife and whatever. You know, it's not his interest. It's not because he's absorbed in his spiritual bliss. But how is he not an Atmarama? Yes, he relishes the love of his devotees. And what's the next category?
Those who have everything that they don't.
Yes, the aptakama, those who have everything. Those are the materialists who have everything, and so they're indifferent. So how is Krishna not an aptakama? Or first, how is he an aptakama? How is Krishna an aptakama?
He is everything.
He is everything. He doesn't just have everything, he is everything. He's not just the possessor, he is everything. And therefore, he doesn't really care. You can't buy Krishna. Yeah? You can't interest Krishna with anything because he already has everything. If you say, okay, I'm going to buy Radha Madan Mohan, you know, pure 24 karat gold jewelry with diamonds, does Krishna care? No, he doesn't care. He has living Chintamani jewels. What does he care for your diamonds? And how is Krishna not an aptakama?
He cares for the love of his devotees.
Again, he cares for the love of his devotees. He appreciates the love of his devotees. And he appreciates even a drop of water. So Krishna is the origin of all the oceans and the rivers and the rain, and he has no need for two drops of water in a 1 centimeter high cup. But still, he's so grateful that he sells himself to the devotee. He sells himself even to Putana. And the Guru Druhi is the cruel person. So here Krishna is not a Guru Druhi at all. There's no way in which he's a Guru Druhi. He's extremely grateful. He's grateful for even the smallest thing. So in this way, Krishna is and is not all the material relationships. You can't take Krishna and fit him into some material category and try to understand Krishna's dealings with us from a material perspective. And yet he's the best of all categories. Yet he's the best of everything. So now how does Krishna respond? Aspiring devotee who's not yet attained prema. So this is, of course, I think of interest to most of us here. Maybe some of us here have attained prema. Maybe some of you have attained prema, I should say. I certainly have not attained prema. But for those of us who have not attained prema, then Krishna is trying to make our worship more perfect. He's trying to develop humility in us. It's quite interesting. I recently was hearing a story of a devotee, one of our ISKCON devotees, who decided, I'm just going to chant and 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 chant until I see Krishna. So he did. Sat and just chanted and did nothing else for months and months and months until he had a vision of the Lord. But then he became very proud. Oh, I've seen Krishna. Now I am perfect. And he forgot. Who else has seen Krishna? Kamsa has seen Krishna. Putana saw Krishna. Duryodhana saw Krishna. I love the story of when Mahaprabhu is exhibiting his opulences and he's giving benediction to the devotees. And then the devotees say, what about Mukunda? Where's Mukunda? Oh, Mahaprabhu says, I don't want to see Mukunda. Well, why not? Well, he says he loves me, and then he associates with the impersonalist. So I don't know if he loves me or not. I don't think he's a real devotee. So they go and tell Mukunda, the Lord doesn't want to see you. And Mukunda says, will I ever be able to see him? The devotees say, Lord, Mukunda wants to know, will you ever see him? Yeah. In 10 million births, I will see him. So imagine if we had that advertisement, just like Prabhupada talks about this group. I actually have seen their advertisements. You follow our process, chant this mantra, and in 6 months you will be God. So we're saying, you come to this process, you chant this mantra, you will see God. You will not be God, but you will see God. And you know, with Maharaj Chitraketu, Narada Muni told him, if you chant this mantra after 7 days, you'll see the beings of the higher planets. But imagine if we told people, come to this Hare Krishna movement, chant this mantra, and after 10 million lifetimes, not even 10 million years, 10 million lifetimes, then you'll become perfect. Would we have any members? Would anybody join? I don't think so. Srila Prabhupada said to us, chant 16 rounds, follow the four related principles, and I promise you that in 10 million lifetimes, you'll achieve perfection. Would we feel very enthused? But when they brought this news to Mukunda, 10 million lifetimes, he started dancing. And then when Mahaprabhu heard he was dancing, he said, okay, bring him immediately. But then there was this wonderful conversation. You can read it in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's a wonderful conversation where Mukunda is saying, my dear Lord, seeing you, that is not the perfection. Seeing you is not the perfection. And he starts listing all these living entities who saw Krishna. Just recently in Radha Das, we're reading about Daksha, how Daksha chanted the Hamsa Guya prayers. And from that he was able to see the Lord. But that didn't give him perfection. After seeing the Lord, he then offended Narada Muni. And so a person may think, well, if I see the Lord, then I am perfect. A very interesting exchange also between Mahaprabhu and Mukunda. So they're listing all these persons like Kamsa and Shishupal and Duryodhan who saw the Lord. And then Mahaprabhu told this story. He said, there was one man who for many, many lifetimes did austerities. I want to see God. 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 He said, so finally, I arranged for him to take birth in Mathura as a washerman for Kamsa. And then, he said, then I came as Krishna in Mathura, and I came in front of that washerman. Now you are seeing me after so many lifetimes. Okay, now give me some cloth. Give you cloth? This cloth is for Kamsa. Did you ever wonder why Krishna just cut off his head for that? It was because Mahaprabhu explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat that for millions of years he was asking to see Krishna. And finally Krishna comes. Now give me a little service. Give me a little, you know, cloth. No, I'm not going to give you any cloth. Fool. So for the devotee who's not attained prema, we see this happen. That the devotee who's not attained prema, they may get some vision of the Lord and then they may become proud. This devotee I was talking about, he's not an ISKCON anymore. But anyway, he had this vision of Krishna. And then he thought, oh, now I am a great devotee. And he made up his own process of bhakti. It was actually quite demoniac what he invented. And he got some followers and he engaged them in some very horrible activities. Well, this is my new process of bhakti. Because he thought, now I've seen Krishna, now I am wonderful. So if Krishna gives too much to the immature devotees, then they may think, oh, I am so much better than I am. Now I am very, very advanced. We even have this problem many times with people who study Sanskrit and study the scriptures. Many times. They study the scriptures. You're supposed to study the scriptures. But they study the scriptures and then they think, oh, I know more than Prabhupada. Prabhupada translated the verse like this. Oh, it's not right. It should be translated like this. I know better than all the acharyas. It's a problem. So Krishna is saying here that from the devotees who haven't achieved prema, So these souls develop humility. And that this is how they think. Oh, everything I've done has just been useless. I'm chanting and chanting and chanting. I'm chanting and I'm worshiping and I'm fasting and I'm following the principles and I'm doing so much service and still Krishna has not come, Krishna has not come, Krishna has not come. It must be that I am an offender. Of course, we have this expressed very wonderfully by Maharaj Prataparudra. He said, has the Lord come to deliver everyone except the king named Prataparudra? Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like that? You're doing your service and you see all the other devotees are in ecstasy and where is Krishna? Have you come to deliver everyone except Urmila? Why aren't you coming to me? And in this way, one gets rid of one's pride and one's lust and one's anger. And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, that Krishna's thinking, seeing them suffer in lonely places, I endure a pain 1,000 times more than theirs, but what can I do? Their sincere prayers amaze me, but their hot tears scorch my heart, and their faint of despair causes me to swoon. Still, for their sake, I wait in silence. I endure it all to ripen their love. Just like in modern society, they generally pick fruit before it is ripe, and then they ship it long distances and artificially ripen it. It doesn't taste very good, does it? If you've ever had fruit that's ripened on a tree, it's not the same. So Krishna wants our bhakti to become mature, and therefore he sometimes doesn't reciprocate with us the way that we want, because otherwise we'll just stop. We'll think, okay, now I'm there. Now I'm realized. And we won't become ripe and mature. And it's very difficult for Krishna, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying here, it's very difficult. He wants to reciprocate with us, but I have to wait. I have to wait. I have to wait. I have to wait. When we were studying the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, remember how Lord Vishnu said to Gopakumar, for so many lifetimes I was dancing like a fool, right? You all remember that? You were here, waiting for you to come, thinking in this lifetime will he chant, in this lifetime will he surrender unto me? What about for the devotees who've already attained prema? So even there, Krishna wants their attachment to become intense. Of course, we say, is that fair? But that's what we want. We all want a loving relationship that keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. When people get married, they're hoping, my love will increase and increase. Of course, many times it doesn't do that. Or Prabhupada talks about the parent and the child, right? We have these children here. So when our child is first born, generally we're totally absorbed in our child. Isn't it? Right? The first few days after they're born, you're just thinking about the child every minute. Is he breathing? Is he breathing? Is he breathing? Yes? Yes? But when your children are 30 years old, you don't think like that anymore. I'm not thinking about my children all the time anymore. It decreases. So we're looking for loving relationships that keep increasing. And therefore Krishna does this to have the devotees increase and increase and increase that love for Krishna. And Krishna says this is just like a poor person. They've been poor, they get some wealth, and they lose it again. So who can we think of that Krishna did this to? What famous devotee did Krishna do this to?
When Krishna left Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj was saying that to Uddhava.
Nanda Maharaj was saying this to Uddhava, yeah. Yes. How he's always increasing. Some other examples of devotees that Krishna did this to.
Gopis.
Well, the gopis we're going to get to, you've got to wait till the next slide for the gopis.
But he left Vrindavan.
Oh, just wait for the next slide for the gopis. I'm thinking about Narada Muni, where Krishna appeared to him and then said, you won't see me again, just to increase your love for me.
So you've... In the next life,
The gopis who had to wait for the next life. Oh, yes, okay. So like the sages in the Dandaka forest, where they saw Ram and they were... Is that what you meant? And they were perfect in their love for Lord Ramachandra, and they wanted that relationship... But yet, okay, you'll have to wait until I come as Krishna. They had to wait millions, what was it, 5 million? 5 million years. So just imagine, you know, you go through all these lifetimes of austerity and bhakti to see Krishna, and you finally see Krishna. You see, there's Lord Ram in front of you, and he says, yes, I accept you. But not now. And he goes away. So just like if you're very, very poor, and you finally get some money, and then you lose it. I remember reading a story like that. This poor family, they won the lottery. But what happened was they threw away their ticket by mistake. You know, so they won all these millions and millions of dollars, but they didn't. They were going crazy looking everywhere for this ticket. So this is that one becomes mad in love for Krishna. All right. But what about the gopis? The gopis aren't in either category. The gopis are not devotees who have not attained prema, and nor are the gopis devotees who have attained prema. There's no limit to the love of the devotees, of the gopis. The acharyas are commenting that Krishna is saying, I'm sorry, I've done something very improper. There's no other devotees like you, not in the past, or the present, or the future. I am so sorry. There's no question of my increasing your love. You already have unlimited love. Your love cannot be increased even by one atom. So why did I leave? I actually left to glorify you. I left so that everybody else in the world would see how wonderful are these gopis. After waiting to take birth as gopis for millions or trillions of years, after finally coming to Vrindavan, after seeing me and falling in love with me, after hearing my flute coming to the forest, being told to go home, staying with me, then playing with me. But then when I left, these gopis still loved me. They didn't give up their love for me. Rather, they became more mad in love for me. How wonderful are these devotees, my gopis? That is why I left you. You've given up everything to serve me, but what have I given up to serve you? You left your husbands, your mothers-in-law, your fathers-in-law, everything. You gave up all the social mores of society for these sadhana city gopis who were in their previous lives the personification of the Vedas. That's not a small thing. Maybe in Kali Yuga we think it's a very small thing to give up Dharma. We never had it in the first place, what you speak of giving it up. But if you're the personification of the Vedas or some sages in Treta Yuga, to give up ordinary dharma, it's a big sacrifice. But did Krishna give up Mother Yasoda and Nandamarsh?
No.
So the gopis gave up everything for Krishna, but did Krishna give up everything for them? No. Therefore, yeyatamam prapadyante tamstadaiva brajamyaham. Krishna can't do that with the gopis. He says, therefore, I cannot reciprocate, and therefore, I am in your debt. And this was the reason that I decided to do this presentation. When I was reading this in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, I was really struck by this. That the gopis started to think, that Krishna's done this for us. Krishna actually did this to glorify us. He didn't leave us because he was ungrateful or indifferent or our enemy. He left us to show his love for us. But rather, we were the ones who were at fault. We wanted to criticize him. He was trying to glorify us, and we were trying to criticize him. So how beautiful this is. So Krishna first says to them, you have much greater love than I have. You've given up everything for me, and what have I given up for you? Therefore, I'm in your debt. And then the gopis say, no, you're much greater than we are. For you did something to glorify us, whereas we were looking to find fault with you. And we should assume that everything Krishna does in our lives is with the intention of loving us and with the intention of helping us. Then, of course, everybody was very happy and they started the Rasalila. Where Krishna is reciprocating with each of his devotees in such a personal way that each of them thinks, I am the only one. Does anyone have any questions, comments? It's okay, don't worry about it. Questions, comments? Additions, subtractions? Corrections, chastisements. Faint, melt. Was I speaking slowly enough? Could you all follow?
It was very sweet. Thank you so much.
I think we are all a little bit on the emotional shock of the last message.
Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Maybe, I don't know, I hope I placed it properly. In this reciprocation with Krishna, I feel often we want to become devotees, we are doing service, we are doing what, we follow the rules, we follow the process, but our longing for reciprocation is maybe not so big. We are not missing Krishna so much, or thinking, I need Krishna. It's a pity that I'm not Krishna conscious. Sometimes it seems this need of reciprocation is like sleeping or like in connection to Krishna. Or I don't know if you could like maybe wrap a little bit the things.
That is very nice. That maybe even though we become devotees and we're following the process, we may not be feeling that urgency of where is Krishna? And I believe the reason for this is that we don't really want to unlock in our heart how deeply we are hankering for love. Even in ordinary relationships between people in this world, people do not generally want to reveal how much we want love. You know, if the man thinks his wife isn't loving to him, instead of just saying, I really want to be loved, he gets angry, or the woman will get angry. You know, generally, if we feel we're not receiving the love that we need, we don't usually make ourselves vulnerable and open by saying, I really want love. Instead, we say something else. We say, you know, why didn't you do the dishes on time? Or how can we do it? You know, we disguise this great desire for a loving relationship with something else. And I wonder if that's because we don't want to admit that we are very vulnerable, that we are in need, that without our relationship with Krishna, we're dying. We're starving. We want to have this, you know, ahankara vimudhat marakarta hamiti manite siddham, ishwarham aham bhogi siddham. I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy. I have everything I need. What do I need God for? I don't need God. I have everything I need. I am the aptikami. We don't want to come broken. I'm broken. I'm disconnected. I'm wrong. I don't feel complete without you. I need you. We consider that very childish. Oh, baby, they can, you know, I need you, mommy. But I'm an adult. Why should I be chanting Krishna's name like a child calling for the mother? I'm not a child. I'm the enjoyer of the world. I think we don't want to touch this deep essence of our spiritual being, that we really do need Krishna, that we really intensely miss him, that we desperately need and want his love, and that we're looking for it in so many absurd ways and places. That's my theory on it. It's scary. It's scary to really open your heart to Krishna and really chant like a child crying for the mother. It's a scary thing to do for a conditioned soul. To open up that box of intense desire and helplessness. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, thank you very much. I hope that you enjoyed this presentation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.